to Exodus chapter 7, and we're going to be reading from verse 14. Verse 14 through to verse 25. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water. And thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come. And the rod which was turned into a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldst not hear. Thus saith the Lord, In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after that the Lord had smitten the river. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading. Pharaoh's heart was hardened against God, and against Moses, and against Aaron. And now, therefore, the Lord begins the signs and wonders, the great judgments by which he would accomplish the liberty of his people. And this first sign was wonderful indeed, because the water of the river Nile and all its connecting channels and canals were turned to blood, together with the reservoirs and even water that was in containers of wood and of stone was changed to blood. And the Lord calls this series of plagues that are about to come upon Egypt deliverance by a mighty hand, because that is the purpose of these plagues, the deliverance of the people of God and the judgment of their captors. They're also called great terrors. And it is noticeable that sure it was Moses and Aaron were agents and ambassadors of God to Pharaoh. But this great terror was the work of God, and Pharaoh would be broken so that he would know it. After the incident of the serpents and Aaron's rod devouring the rods of the magicians in Egypt, God tells Moses to go and to encounter Pharaoh again at the River Nile, and to repeat the demand for the release of the people of God, that they might worship in the wilderness. And instructions are given, as we've read them, for what Moses is to say and what he is to do. But Pharaoh will have none of it. And despite a warning again being provided that might have prevented this disaster of the judgment, he refuses to let the people go. So that when the water was changed to blood, it became undrinkable, and all the fish in the river died. It also began to stink, both with the congealing blood and the rotting fish in the midst of all that heat and sand. It caused the people to dig around about the river edges for fresh water, but we're not told that they found any. And the plague lasted 7 days, and we can only imagine the horror and the terror of that. Many people must have suffered, and many people must have died. Perhaps the wealthy people were able to drink wine, but the nation in general would have been brought to its knees by this event. Now, we're not told about the land of the children of Israel, the land of Goshen, and it is perhaps likely that they did not suffer this same plague, but they're not actually mentioned. But let me just bring to your attention a few interesting points from this little passage here, which I hope will do us good. One noticeable point, I think, is that the magicians again appear to manage to replicate this plague by some means, trickery or otherwise. In a sense, it's not a very great achievement that they perform. It would have been much more impressive for Pharaoh and his servants if they had been able to change the blood in the river back into water. Then they would have earned their keep and their reputation. What they were able to do was to turn water into blood in some way. And maybe you wonder where they got the water to change into blood. If the water in all Egypt was turned to blood by Moses and Aaron, where did they get the water that they were able to change into blood? Well, I wondered that too, and I don't know the answer, because we're not actually told. Maybe when the people dug around the Nile for water, they did find some, and that was the water that was used by the magicians. Perhaps it was that when Aaron stretched his rod out over the rivers and the water of Egypt, that it changed gradually into blood, and that they had some that still hadn't changed yet. Maybe they had a bucket full of water and it changed at Aaron's command while they were holding it, and they claimed that they had done it. I don't know. But the interesting point is this, that the fact that these magicians were there and able to do what they did reinforced the hardness of Pharaoh's heart and his opposition to God. It hardened his heart some more. And these magicians were like false teachers of false religion. They pretended to be able to do what only God could do. It wasn't even Moses and Aaron that was doing this. It was God who was doing it. It was God who was bringing these signs and wonders. And false teachers, teachers of false religion, they teach people that they can change things, that they can become something that they are not, that they can, as it were, get rid of the stink that is in their lives by their own free will. They can make themselves better, they can make themselves pure by their own works and their own actions and their own self-righteousness. And just like these magicians in Egypt, they are wrong, these false teachers. Because it takes God to do a miracle of grace. And it takes God to make a Christian. And it takes God to change a man and a woman and a boy and a girl. And to give the grace by which we can be saved. And another thing that we can learn from these verses is that Pharaoh's hard heart and the hardening of his heart is a picture of a sinner's heart towards God. We sometimes call that being dead in sin, because a sinner is said to have a heart of stone rather than a heart of flesh. And sometimes you might hear a preacher talking about or using the phrase total depravity. And it's used to describe our complete opposition to God in our nature state, when our heart is hardened against God. And just like Pharaoh, all the signs and wonders that we might imagine, they will not change our heart. No matter what we see, we can see all the wonderful things of this world. We can experience all the wonderful things of this world. We can taste, we can enjoy, we can benefit from them. All the wonders of this world cannot change a sinful heart. There is only one way that that change can happen. And that is if God gives us a new heart. If he takes away the heart of stone and creates in us a heart of flesh that he has renewed and that he has created. And we need a new heart in order to seek forgiveness for our sin, in order to desire peace with God. And that new heart is a work of God alone. It's a work of grace and mercy. And God is very clear in this. He tells the prophet Ezekiel about what he does to bring a sinner to see his need or her need of salvation. In Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26, the Lord says this, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." That was my second little application. Here's my third one and my last one, and it's really a question. Was the blood in the River Nile real blood? Or was it just some red discolouring? Maybe some algae that was growing in there, or some chemical, or some dust that got into the water? Well, I think it was real blood. I think it was real blood. And that's what the Bible says that it was. And it was that that caused the fish to die. The death of the fish in itself was a great tragedy for Egypt, because the people ate the fish that were in the river. So not only was there no water to drink, there was no food to eat. And if it had just been discolored water, the people would still have drunk it. And I think the fact that it was changed to blood is very significant. Do you remember that it was into the River Nile that the boy children of the Israelites had been thrown and where they were drowned. And that crime that the Egyptians perpetrated against the little children of the people of Israel was marked by God. And it was marked by the Israelites, and it was marked by the Egyptians as the water changed from water to blood. Many years before this, God had told Noah that he would require justice for the shedding of blood, whether it was by man or whether it was by beast. And God told Noah this: surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man. And the cries of the Israelite children were coming back to haunt their persecutors and their murderers. And the Lord God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And there's an interesting little parallel here, which I think will do us good to think about. Do you remember the very first miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ performed? I'll pause to see if you can remember it. Do you remember the first miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ performed? Well, it was at a wedding, and he changed the water into wine. Now, that miracle of changing water into wine did two things. It brought great relief to the person who had arranged the wedding, and it also brought great joy to those who were able to drink the wine and enjoy the wine that Jesus created there. The first plague that Moses performed was to change water into blood, and that brought great suffering and great fear. And that is a picture of law and grace, of judgment and gospel. John chapter 1 and verse 17 tells us, for the law, that is the justice and the judgment of God, was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Moses turned water into blood. The Lord Jesus Christ turned water into wine. God's grace brings blessing, and his law brings condemnation. May the Lord God Almighty bring us to a knowledge and experience of his grace and truth through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Amen.